Okay.
So I guess we are good to start recording now.
Okay. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're already recording.
Oh, you totally messed that up on me. Okay. Yes.
I don't know how to pronounce that game series. Yes, like Y-S. Like, so Yes.
It's Azusa.
Welcome to the BitBoys podcast number 9, everybody. I'm Faison Chaos.
And I'm Kaleos. Kaleos.
And as usual, we'll start with what we've been playing. So,
Arcacoon is evolving. I think that gives away what I've been playing.
Mans.
Yeah, anyways, yeah, I'll start off. I ended up buying Pokemon Soul Silver. It's a nice blast from the past.
Good
with
choice.
Better graphics. I know. It is the right choice.
Yes.
And my Kakuna evolved into a Beedrill.
So remember, everyone, if you buy gold, you're pretentious.
And, okay, one thing I have to wonder is why is it in all the games, all the Pokemon's names are capitalized?
I don't know.
Like, I remember when I played Diamond, I went through and, like, renamed them to nicknames just to make everything lowercase except
nice.
For the first letter. Yeah. But yeah, so I've been playing Pokemon. I'm enjoying the little Pokewalker thing, which is a little device that they give you that looks like a Pokeball. It comes with a back that you can put on it that has a belt clip, and you can transfer Pokemon onto it with infrared from the game, and they go for walks, and then you can catch Pokemon on it and everything. Like, I caught an Onix and a Kangaskhan on there.
I'm just surprised about, like, everything that you could do with it.
Because, yeah.
Like, I knew it was just a thing that you would put in a pedometer and gave you a Pokemon experience, like, I guess, sort of like the babysitter.
Yeah.
Pokemon daycare. But, like, I didn't realize, like, all the stuff you could do that you could, like, fight Pokemon and catch them and stuff with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really impressed with that. I don't have either of the games myself yet, but I'm quite impressed with everything you can do with that Pokewalker.
Yeah. Like, I hadn't looked into the game at all, and then I saw this, and I'm just like, man, I gotta get this now. And, yeah, I walk to school most days, so I get tons of steps there, and then I walk home from work, too. Like, it seemed like a gimmick just to get fat kids to walk more. That's honestly what I thought Nintendo was trying to do. And then I realized I wanted to try and walk more so I'd get more steps. And then I'm like, wait a sec.
It's working.
Yeah, it's working. Oh dear.
Because you're such a fat kid.
Totally. I'm looking at my arms. Yeah, so I've been playing Soul Silver. I haven't gone too far, but I've been enjoying the Pokewalker. The graphics are nice. They've also they've kept all the old noises, I'm pretty sure, like when Pokemon appear and stuff.
Oh, like the cries.
Like the...
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, I think they've been keeping those, although they have been having more, less bitty-sounding ones for the newer Pokemon, but...
Yeah, but it was just a nice little touch.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all the graphics are updated.
Do the graphics seem updated at all compared to Diamond and Pearl?
It's been a while since I played Diamond and Pearl. Well, Diamond. Doesn't seem so. They seem about the same. And, oh, they added some moves and changed things around, apparently, later on that I haven't gone to yet.
Okay.
Like, I was fighting a Pidgeotto, and it was using this move called Roost, which restores half its max HP.
Okay, I think that might have been...
Was it there?
It was already introduced in earlier games, but I don't know that it was there in Gold and Silver. So I guess maybe they've added the moves that were introduced into the series since those games and added them onto the Pokemon that were already there back when Gold and Silver were released.
Yeah. It's got, like, nice little changes, but nothing too big that makes it lose that retro feel from playing the original game with updated stuff.
And is the music is all updated, right?
Yeah, though apparently you get this item later on that lets you switch it.
Yeah, I'd heard about that. That's pretty cool, because then for all the people that want the nostalgic feel, they've got
that
too.
That's the whole reason I got this game. It was I liked Silver, I played it, I still have it, but I wanted to play the new one again, because I can play it on my DS.
Yeah, I'll hopefully be getting Soul Silver for my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I was playing a ton more of Chrono Trigger. I finally got all of the endings in that.
Ooh.
All 13 endings. I think I had about 16 or 17 hours on my New Game Plus file by the time I got them all, but then probably plus at least another 2 or 3 hours for the amount of time that I spent fighting Lavos in order to get each of the endings, since when I start up the save file again that has the endings on it, it's just starting up from when I had saved before I went to fight Lavos.
Okay.
So, probably getting close to 20 hours, which is quite a bit considering that in my... It was a New Game Plus, so I still have all my levels and stuff from the previous game, but in my original playthrough, it took me like 25 hours, so...
Oh, wow.
It was getting pretty close up there. And then also yesterday I picked up Fragile Dreams, Farewell to the Ruins of the Moon. I was hoping to get it on Tuesday, but they didn't have it in that EB yet, which I was kind of annoyed about, but oh well, I managed to get it yesterday. And I was kind of impressed since they actually had the pre-order bonus. I generally don't really expect much of EB in terms of that.
Oh yeah?
But I had to ask for it to even get it, but they had it.
Still a decent store.
And I think they said it was their last one, so... Hmm. And I'm wondering if they didn't have enough for all the pre-orders, because I heard them saying that they had set all of that game aside. So I'm wondering if there was, like, they only had enough of the games for how many people had pre-ordered it, and
oh,
they
wow.
maybe didn't get enough CDs or something. So I think I'd heard other places they only had enough of it for those who had pre-ordered.
Huh.
But anyways, I didn't get to play too much of it. Only about 45 minutes or so last night, but I am enjoying it quite a bit so far. Some of the reviews for it are saying it's not getting the greatest reviews, but the thing is that the main thing that people are complaining about in the reviews is the combat. I haven't had much combat in the short amount of time that I have played, but I, along with mostly everyone else who got the game, didn't get the game for that. That's not the draw of the game. The draw of the game is, like, the emotional storyline, the atmosphere, everything. Like, and it's really cool, because a lot of, when you're playing through the levels, at least from what I've played so far, there isn't any music in the background. It's
Whoa.
All just ambient noises, and the music only plays pretty much during cutscenes or when there are enemies.
That's actually really cool.
But it's
but you, weird.
Because like, sometimes silence in video games, it seems like, oh, this is just kind of lazy. But in this game, it's actually used as a good
artistically?
Effect. Yeah, like, it seems like, okay, yeah, this works really well.
Huh.
And, like, because that's... The atmosphere of the game is just one of the huge draws for it. Like, that's... Because it's all about, like, you're alone in this world, and you're just trying to find other people. Because, as I was saying, I think it was last week, basically, you're this kid, he's 15 years old, and he was living with this old man, and he dies, and leaves him a note that says, "Go east to the tower." Which is actually apparently Tokyo. It's supposed to be Tokyo Tower, since it's based on like real places in Japan. A lot of the locations in the game, because that's where they went for inspiration for the designs. Except it's all everything's like rotting and decaying and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And so basically, this 15-year-old guy, he's looking for other people and to find out what happened to everyone, because you're in this post-apocalyptic world, but
Ooh.
You don't know what happened.
One of those uncover the past kind of games?
Kind
of. Those are always interesting, because it's like, oh, it's like backstory, but that's a lot of the game.
Yeah, and like the music is, as I was saying, it's fantastic, and like, I got a few songs on the pre-order bonus soundtrack thing, and
right.
I love the music in the game.
I'll have to take a listen to that sometime. Speaking of good music, I've been enjoying 13 some more, and that I've started listening to some of the music for that, and there's some really nice stuff in there, like the battle theme. You don't get tired of.
That's
at least not yet.
Good.
And I also found a techno remix of it, and I'm a fan of techno remixes, so that just added to it. Though I'm not sure if it's intentional or well, it probably was intentional, but it's weird because like one boss fight. You just had this sort of mellow music, and I was kind of like, this doesn't even sound like battle music. So since I'm playing on the Xbox, I can stream music from my computer, so I was just like, I'll just stream the battle theme.
Nice.
So I ended up doing that for a little while, and listening to the techno battle theme as my battle theme. It was pretty sweet. Yeah, I'm pretty far in the game. I think I've got 12 and a half hours or so clocked now.
Still on the second disc?
Yep.
Because you have the 360 version.
Yep. I enjoy my multiple discs.
Oh, it was really funny on this other podcast I was listening to, because they were talking about 13, and there are two people playing it, one of them on the PS3, one of them on the 360. And as soon as the person who's playing on the 360 mentioned about the multiple discs, the other person was like, ha!
Yeah. I've mentioned, I'm like, what disc are you on? And then someone's like, what, disc one? Because I've only got one kind of thing. I'm like, oh, right. Right.
They have the... and they also made a joke about how you could have it all on an HD DVD if that one had taken off.
Yeah, that's always an interesting conversation. But, you know, same game, so yeah. It's always good. Lots of cool stuff. I don't want to give away too much, since we'll be talking a lot about that next week. Wink.
No.
Fine.
You're a week off.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 2 weeks.
Yes.
Oh. Okay, I'm thinking too far in the future.
Anyways! anything else you've been playing?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
How about you?
I also put a little bit of time into Phoenix Wright Justice for All, but not very much this week. I'm on the last case, so I'll probably be finishing that off in not too much longer.
Huh.
But yeah, anyways, so basically...
Game's coming out next week?
Game's coming out next week. To segue into that perfectly, it would have been much more perfect if the order of what we had played had been rearranged a bit. But with the whole thing with Pokemon and about how you can get the item that allows you to change to the retro music, that
right.
makes me think of Cave Story, which is coming out on WiiWare this Monday, where
Ooh.
You are actually... where they updated all the graphics and the music, but you can also mix and match to whichever ones you want. You can use the
right.
just the new graphics, new music, old graphics, new music, new
yeah,
graphics, old music.
Another podcast, anyway.
But, yeah, so Cave Story, that's coming out on WiiWare this Monday, so I'm looking forward to that.
How many points are we looking at for that?
I don't think they've said yet.
Oh, really?
I'm
that's
hoping odd. For 1,000, because that's what I've got right now, so then I won't have to go out and buy another Wii Points card. I can't see it being too much more than that. I think the most expensive any game has been, at least for just the game, is 1,500, so
okay.
that's probably the most it will be.
Yeah, but it's also, you could play it for free with the older graphics on the computer, so they probably don't want to make it too expensive.
Yeah. Just but like, then they also do have like other stuff added in, like new game
right.
downloads and stuff. And then the other big thing that we have coming out next week, we've got Red Steel 2 coming out on the Wii.
Right.
That totally snuck up on me because I haven't been following the game at all, but it's using the Wii Motion Plus this time, and I think there's more focus on the swordplay than there was in the original.
So that means they should be able to do what they wanted to do with the original.
Yeah. And
so worth a rent at least to see if it turns out properly.
Yeah, so hopefully that game will end up being everything that everyone was expecting the first one to be, and more.
Yeah.
And I think that's all that we've got for big stuff coming out next week, really.
Yeah.
So I guess we will move on to news.
Yeah. Continuing with the whole Final Fantasy stuff, I guess, 13 specifically, is Final Fantasy Versus 13, which is going to be a PS3 exclusive sometime. There's
yeah.
no release date yet.
It's to be announced, but I think I've heard 2010, maybe, or 2011. I don't know.
Yeah. In any event, it's a PS3 exclusive, and there's been some interesting facts.
Well, not really much new, but it's there. It's confirmed that we'll have airships.
Yay! And a world map.
Not really surprising, but yeah, that's...
Apparently there's going to be, like, some stuff kind of like one of the older FF games where you had like the airship and could fly around the worlds, but with better graphics.
Okay, so
this was actually, we found this out from tweets from people at Square Enix. Actually, I think it was someone who didn't even have a Twitter account, they just used the Square Enix account and posted about that. Yeah, it was like, and there's no real word for progress yet on the game because everything hasn't been connected together, so different parts are at different, like, stages of development at the moment.
Oh.
But the trailer still looks really nice, so...
But, yeah, so I guess because with the whole thing with the world map, it'll be less linear than 13
13's is. Fairly linear, though I've heard it opens up more later, so once I get to that part, I'll be able to tell you about it.
Okay, because I've heard that it's pretty much just, like... You go through this section, you fight an enemy, and or there is a cutscene.
There's lots of nice cutscenes.
Section, then you fight an enemy, and or there is a cutscene.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
I've heard that that's an extremely huge part of what the game is.
And also, from those tweets, there's been hinting at a Dissidia sequel. So we'll have to see where that takes us. Yeah.
I didn't play the game myself at all.
No, I didn't. I'm doing voicing for a machinima, though, for a Dissidia thing, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll look into the game more, then.
And then, also this week, we had new news on Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker for the PSP. The shipping date has actually been pushed back to June 8th from originally being in May,
yep.
Which is... kind of bad, but I don't have a PSP, so
it also means
doesn't really affect me too much.
People with exams in May don't have to worry about that anymore.
That's true. Anyways, so then there's, for $199.99, this is, of course, US, there's a bundle with the PSP and
the game.
New game. It comes
green
with the
PSP.
Green PSP 3000, 2-gig memory stick, downloadable movie voucher.
The usual stuff you get with those.
And some... an exclusive camouflage uniform with the, like, Fox Hound or whatever that...
Yeah, the Fox Solid Hound. I think it's Fox Hound logos.
Yeah, and a stealth gun feature. I guess this is in-game stuff, but...
Yeah.
In-game
is always good. Makes you feel special when you're playing it.
And that's pretty much all we heard about it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that game could be good, because, as I said, during it... development, it was being thought of as basically Metal Gear Solid 5.
True.
So, yeah, it's like a prequel to Snake stuff, and it's like after Metal Gear Solid 3, so I guess between 3 and 1.
I believe so, then.
One
other cool bit of info that I heard is that StarCraft 2 is going to be releasing its next wave of beta keys, and also people with beta keys have an extra key that you can give to a friend now.
Ooh.
That's what I've heard, at least. I haven't looked into it too much, but...
So
that's...
if you're a fan of StarCraft and you have a friend who has a beta key, now's the time to start buddying up to them.
Yeah. And I don't know, they're still working on balance issues and everything, so hopefully it'll be even better when it comes out.
Alright, and then something else that we heard about is that they're releasing a game... Warner Bros. Interactive Entertainment is releasing a Game of the Year edition of Batman Arkham Asylum. And it's coming out on May 11th for 360, PC, and PS3.
Yep.
It has...
some extra stuff.
Extra challenge stuff.
Extra maps, downloadable conduct, probably.
The big thing, though, that's coming out with it is that it's going to use the TrioViz 3D technology, which will let you play the games on entirely in 3D.
3D?
Which would is going to work with standard and high-definition televisions. So
yeah.
That could be pretty interesting.
We'll have to see how it goes.
Like
a lot of things.
Yeah.
Sort of see how it works. We were hearing a lot about 3D TVs and stuff at CES. So
what I'm wondering if, like, how... if they would be doing anything differently with it for 3D TVs.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I haven't looked into this TrioViz technology. I did a quick Google search, but didn't have time to read over all of it because there was this other news to look at. Yeah, so it'll be worth looking into later. I think it's a Japanese company. Or no?
That wouldn't surprise me.
It might be. So that I didn't look... It was like, here's the official website. Translate this page. I'm like, I don't feel like reading a half-translated website. Because, like, all the images aren't
Hooray
translated.
Hooray for English.
Yeah. And there wasn't a Wikipedia page on it.
Oh, really?
I think there was for TrioViz, and then it just said, like, it's a company that does stuff kind of thing. And I was like... You didn't tell me about what they do enough to make me feel like reading in-depth in this article. last bit of news is the Xbox 360 rumors. So, apparently there's some pictures leaked that show a new motherboard for the Xbox, which actually has the GPU and the CPU sort of combined, which should let it run cooler. And apparently Microsoft has also been hiring for a motherboard design engineer for the Xbox, so it's supposed to have aggressive cost reduction for the console throughout the life of the product, which hopefully means cheaper Xboxes, maybe kind of like the PS3 Slim equivalent. So, cheaper Xboxes and no red rings.
That would definitely be good, since
360 has the highest fail rate of all the consoles.
Yeah, I think I heard that the newest wave that came out, it was gone finally, though.
That's
But then again, it's been, what, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Or wait, no, it came out a year before.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I think
so
it's five
years. Oh, well, four and a half-ish, but...
Yeah. Oh, well.
Like, because I've heard of some people going through, like, three or four 360s.
Luckily,
like,
mine hasn't died yet.
Just...
ridiculous.
That's no good.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Yeah, so we'll have to see if this rumor pans out eventually and they do release something new. And I believe that's all the news we have for this week, actually. It's been a slow news week for games since we had GDC 2 weeks ago, so all the big announcements have already been given to us.
Yeah, just... I guess the next big conference thing is E3. June, so...
have to wait till then for the big announcements.
See what else we get rumor the next couple months.
Yeah, because of course there's rumors about, like, oh, when's the next console coming out for next gen of gaming? What are people going to do with the next gen of gaming?
Yeah.
Probably copy the Wii. and improve graphics, because everyone loves graphics.
Yeah.
But I would also, I can see them just starting to do 3D if 3D TV is going to become popular.
It really catches on. I could see a lot of companies trying to go for that.
Yeah. Oh, and I was reading some stuff about the PS3's Move.
Oh, yeah.
That they were using. And apparently what it basically, like, the software hasn't come out to support the hardware yet, which makes it not that exciting yet.
Yeah.
Apparently right now it's just sort of, it's basically the Wii with HD, with the little minigame type thing.
Yeah, one thing that I had heard about is, because, like, when you look at it, like, if there are people that already have a Wii, and, like, they're just, like, a casual gamer, it's not very likely that they're probably going to want to be spending the amount of money they need to for it. Because I think I heard that, like, for the PS3 Move, it's, like, just for the controller, it's, like, close to $100.
Wow.
So they have to pay the $100 just for that, then another $300 for the system itself.
If they're getting the smallest Slim.
Yeah, so, like, you're paying $400 there to get a new system. So if people already have a Wii and they're casual gamers, they probably aren't going to care enough about graphics to spend $400 on a new system when they already have their Wii that works perfectly fine.
Apparently, I believe you can play SOCOM with the Wii... or the... not the Wii. I was about to say Wii Motion Plus, but with the PlayStation Move. And apparently it's not quite there yet, software-wise still. Like, it's kind of like the iToy where it lags on occasion.
The iToy.
So we'll have to see how they continue with the software development. Because right now it's looking like the Wii's doing the job better.
Yeah, like, I've even heard that they're coming out with it, like, just, like, a sports game thing, too.
And so, Wii, like, Sport, I mean, PlayStation Sports?
Apparently, it's also, like even, like, the little, like, musical embellishments, like, are extremely reminiscent of Wii Sports.
Oh, dear.
But then the other thing is that it's, that makes it kind of worse, too, is the fact that they don't, like, there's no really, like, connection between the things. Like, cause if you look at Wii Sports Resort, it's, like, they're all the Miis, and, like, there's the island, and there's all the different places that you can go to do the different activities, and it's very clear.
Yeah.
Apparently, in this game, it's just sort of, like,
here's
completely
football,
different things. Like, here's some people in, here's football, or whatever, like, say, here's golf, let's say, I don't know what sports are in it. But then, here's, like, sword fighting, and you're in, like, ancient gear and stuff, fighting with swords, and it's like, how does that work? Like, time traveling or something?
Ooh, like, maybe they have a DeLorean.
I mean, this is just nitpicking, but, like, with the Wii games, like,
they make sense.
Like, because they're showing how...
and they're making use of the Miis.
Yeah.
Which, I don't believe the PlayStation's really done with their Avatar system. Or what are they even called again? Like, PlayStation Home?
I don't know what the characters are called, but...
yeah. Yeah, so PlayStation, it could turn out really well, don't get us wrong.
Yeah.
It's just at the moment, just like everyone. Like, everyone made fun of, like, some stuff with, the Wii, even after they got...
name?
Yeah, the name, for starters. And just, like, after we got over the initial, oh man, we can control the game by moving our hands, and not our fingers, our hands and our arms. Yeah. It was kind of like, wait a sec. It's not that amazing. It's not like I can do this cool twisty thing with my hand and it does it on the screen. It's like I flick right and I flick left. And then people would make fun of fans like, I don't know, same thing's going to happen.
Probably the best joke that I heard about how few people liked the name at first is, I think, at the Nintendo's E3 press conference that year, Reggie made a joke about... thanks to everyone who accepted the name when we first announced it. Both of you.
Wow. I saw this great picture with the Wii, and I think it was one of those, like, cutouts of a person kind of thing, holding a Wii remote.
Okay.
And then it was, like, just a solid color and then a background, and then the caption was, like, real men Wii standing up or something. It's like, there's
so... Were
they
wearing the wrist strap?
I don't know.
Because if they better have, that's much more manly.
Ooh, yes. And, do they... Yes, they have a wrist strap on the...
Yes, but... Oh, that's something else that I heard people complain about. Mm-hmm. There's nothing... Because you know how the two separate controllers are wireless?
Right.
There's nothing connecting the left controller to anything. There's no cord to the other controller. There's no wrist strap on it. It's just in your hand. It's not connected
to anything.
That is kind of weird. So, like, they're saying they could potentially see.
Is there any motion?
I'm not actually
involved
sure.
In that half, or the sub controller.
Yes.
Right.
What an inventive idea for a name.
Yes. Point. Yeah. I guess we should move on to the random section. If we sort of got creative with the random section last
yeah.
week, I found a lot of sound clips last week. That was fun.
Alright, so this week's random section will be come up with the best sort of class you could think of being introduced in an RPG.
Ooh.
That would not normally be in an RPG.
Ooh, so not like a black mage.
No. So something that you've never heard of being in something.
Something that, ooh. That's hard, because, like, there's fighters already, and paladins, and clerics, and all sorts of stuff like that. You know, one thing I've noticed with the, console RPGs, at least, is you don't find druids.
Yeah.
Dungeons & Dragons, because I play that all the time, has druids, but nothing else really has that.
Except for WoW.
True. Except for WoW, because WoW takes a lot from D&D, actually.
Really?
Yeah, like, all these, and they, it also makes references to pop culture, which is amazing. Like, there's a sword that you can get called Stung. And I'm just like, wonder where that came from. And then laughed. But yeah, you can get, there's like Arcane Missile in WoW. D&D has Magic Missile. Does the same thing. D&D Paladins get this move called Lay on Hands, which heals. Paladins in WoW get a move called Lay on Hands. It heals them. Like, I was just like, okay. I wonder... It's because D&D is the basis for so many RPGs, since it's a classic. But that's beside the point. So, I guess for, like, Final Fantasy and more of those, like, JRPGs, I'd say Druid, since you don't really hear about those. But I kind of want to get more creative than that. Because there's... Fighters are taken, and... healers and damage dealing mages and archers and tanks, I mean, like, paladins, not like yeah, not like mega tanks and neo tanks and stuff, and now I'm thinking Advance Wars. What else is there? There's thieves already, which cover a lot of stuff. They don't really do bards either. No, bards are in some things.
You spoony bard!
Yeah. Stuff like that. They've got a lot of bases covered already. I would have to say, like, it has come up in action RPGs and like adventure games a little bit more, but in your traditional like turn-based kind of RPG sort of thing, you don't really get any shapeshifters.
That's true.
Like, which also could incorporate druids again, I guess, because druids do the whole shapeshift thing. Now you have summoners, of course, but you don't have the shapeshifters really. Or in D&D, they're called templates. Like, you can't become a werewolf in many RPGs. It's like your character's always its race. So,
with the exception of the odd game, like the GameCube and Wii Fire Emblem games.
Yeah,
the
way there's like
live use.
Yeah, but if we start going to everything, it's like I won't be able to think of anything. So I would say those. It's like basically a druid is what they don't have, because it doesn't shapeshift or have. They don't really have anything that either shapeshifts, has animal companions, or focuses on nature magic.
Well,
I'm
doing something completely different.
Okay.
Which was more what I was looking for, but anyways, there are a few RPGs which contain these, but I think there should be a plumber class.
Oh, like that.
It could be an excellent class. I mean, besides the regular plumberly activities, you know, using plungers and whatever plumbers normally... Anyways, they could shoot fireballs and use hammers and jump on things.
Oh, well, if we're going that route, I'll take a idea from this comic I read, Order of the Stick, and it would be the dashing swashbuckler, where all of his abilities are based off of the witty lines he says as he's attacking people, or stuff like that. And you have to yell sneak attack when you perform a sneak attack.
Wait, I have an even better idea. Techie.
Techie?
There should be a techie class.
Ooh.
And anything that involves any sort of RPG where there's some sort of technologically advanced stuff, like such as there is an FF13.
Right.
There should be, not necessarily called techie, but people that are like very technologically inclined and they use lots of robotics and mechanics and stuff to do all their moves. Because, I mean, there is sometimes stuff like that, but they're not usually they usually have other special moves that aren't necessarily based around that, but I mean, like, everything is all, like, they
everything.
Use their stuff to...
They've got, like, mechanical arms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's... When you look into some sci-fi settings, they've got stuff like that,
But that's not your traditional RPG.
No. No.
But yeah, anyways, so I guess we'll move on to our question of the week now.
Yes. And since I've been playing so much Pokemon, I think the question of the week will be, which is your favorite starter Pokemon? From either... We'll go a little retro here and look at the Red and Blue and Gold and Silver generation. Like, which are your favorite from each of them, I'd say. And why you like them. Or that element, I guess, because they're basically the same thing.
I always pick Fire.
You always pick Fire?
I always pick Fire.
Ooh. Well, in Red and Blue, I picked Bulbasaur. I played Red myself.
I didn't actually have my own Pokemon game until Crystal... Because my first handheld console was actually the Game Boy Advance, but...
Ooh. I got a Game Boy Color back in the day. No Game Boy Black and White for me. I bought one later, because it was cheap, and I was like, I want one. But yeah, I'd say Bulbasaur, and then I ended up getting Cyndaquil in Gold and Silver.
Anyways.
So yeah, email us your answer at contact.bit.boys@gmail.com, and let us know which is your favorite starter Pokemon from Red and Blue and Gold and Silver. And
that's pretty much everything for this week.
Yeah, which is April 18th, so one of our friends' something month anniversary, I don't even know now.
It's March.
It's March? Yeah, well, it'd be 23, I guess, since next month would be 2 years.
Anyways.
Except at D&D.
This is the BitBoys podcast for March 18th, because it's a Thursday this week.
Yep.
Anyways, so yeah, thanks for listening, and see you all next week.